Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
He bought a hangar at the airport, at the Santa Monica Airport, and he set up a little studio in his hangar down there.
Wow.
Hey everybody, it's Patrick Foster here on behalf of Jim Linehan. I want to welcome you to this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, and you have found the final episode in the Rye Cooter Experience. This is the seventh and final episode in the series, and I had a tremendous time recording this, editing it, and sharing it with all of you, so I hope everyone has enjoyed it. I want to send a heartfelt thank you to Kurt Gallagher for his excellent outline, research, and incredible passion and knowledge of Rye Cooter's career. Really has made this a very excellent and worthwhile series, if I do say so myself. I've got the final reel of TDK queued up here in the big reel-to-reel machine, and we are going to pick up this episode just catching up on a few collaborations that Rye Cooter did in the early 2000s, and also we're going to speak about the Los Angeles trilogy that he made, as well as a couple of political albums, and then wrap up a few things. So without further ado, let's get to it.
And then a few more collaborations, right, to sort of in throughout the 2000s.
He did Hollow Bamboo with John Hassell, who's like a jazz trumpet player.
Yeah.
And he had, John Hassell helped him out with a lot of the soundtrack stuff too, because he does really crazy stuff with horns. Huh. He's really out there making new sounds with horns. He did a duo album with Manuel Galban, who was from Buena Vista Social Club, called Mambo Sanudo, which won a Grammy.
Oh, yeah.
In 2003. And then he did... We keep coming back to the Chieftains, but we already talked about this San Patricio. But I wanted to add one. He was on Warren Zevon's last album in 2003.
Oh, really?
Yeah, The Wind. He played on the first song.
I did not know that.
Dirty Life and Times, the first song on Warren Zevon's last album. Warren Zevon had a lot of guests on that album.
Yeah.
But Rye was on two tracks. And I think Warren and Rye respected each other. They grew up, you know, in Los Angeles, or they knew each other from Los Angeles, from living in LA. And I think they really respected each other, but they never had a chance to work together until that final album. So yeah, 2003, that was one of the last big collabs that I had on my list.
Yeah. I was unaware that he appeared on that last album. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Dirty Life and Times is a pretty cool song.
Some days I feel like my shadow's casting me. Some days the sun don't shine. Sometimes I wonder what tomorrow's gonna bring when I think about my dirty life and times. One day I came to a fork in the road. Folks, I just couldn't go where I was told. Now they'll hunt me down and hang me for my crimes if I tell about my dirty life and times. It's hard to find a girl with a heart of gold when you're living in a four-letter world. But if she won't love me, then her sister will. She's from Say One. everything you need in this field. And she can't seem to make up her mind when she hears about my dirty life and times.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a great songwriter. He wrote so many great songs that RTS could do a whole night at the hoot of Warren Zevon songs.
One thing I wrote down here in my notes as we kind of get to the last section, I said, you know, after this hit of Buena Vista Social Club, a lot of musicians would have just coasted on that. You know, they would have said, I can do this. I'll have an audience that'll come see my shows. You know, I could just do another Cuban album or something like that. But that's not what Ryguter did. And, it's never what he did. He doesn't ever seem to have coasted in his entire musical career. It's fascinating to me. It really, really is. Some of these late period albums he made are so amazing and so ambitious. And one thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if this is a good time to bring it up, but I'd like to ask you anyway, just talk a little bit about his son, Joaquim, and how he, as he got older, began to sort of fit in to Rai's playing and kind of became one of Rai's go-to sidemen, right?
He did, yeah. He started playing drums really young. Jim Keltner gave him a drum kit. They were practicing for something at Rai's house, and he had a drum kit set up. And then when they stopped practicing for whatever that project was, he just left the drum kit there and gave it to Joaquin. I think Joaquin was like 6 years old at the time.
Wow.
And he got a drum set as a gift from Jim Keltner.
That's incredible.
So he's still a percussionist to this day, and he started touring with Rai a lot. They did a really great tour when Joaquin was 16 in 1995. With Rai and David Lindley and David Lindley's daughter, Roseanne. Those four did a tour of Europe, and they ended up that tour at the Vienna Opera House. And they recorded that for a TV show, and there's an album you can buy. It's a double album on David Lindley's website. You can buy that concert. And it's just Rai and David Lindley and their two kids. And it's just, it's so great.
That's
I love
cool.
it so much. Yeah,
that
definitely.
Is so cool.
I was a customer for that as soon as I found out about it.
Yeah.
So, and then Joaquin played and produced all of the stuff that Rai did starting in 2005. Like, Rai had all this money from Buena Vista. He bought a hangar at the airport, at the Santa Monica Airport, and he set up a little studio in his hangar down there.
Wow.
And he just started making albums, whatever he felt like doing, because he didn't have to worry about record companies or the public or anything. He was set, and he just decided to do what he felt like doing. And Joaquin was there playing drums and helping produce all those records that he started. He didn't make an album for 18 years.
Wow.
And his next solo album came out in 2005. So his last one was in the late 80s, which was it was based on the Johnny Cash song, Get Rhythm.
It
was in 87.
Yeah.
So his next next album was in 2005, which was Chavez Ravine.
Incredible.
They made that at the hangar, and Joaquin was there for all that.
Chavez Ravine is an amazing record because it recreates and imagines a place that's no longer there and that existed at one time. And he did a trilogy, I guess, or kind of thought about it that way. But it's remarkable to me that, you know, I read a couple of things about this record and I really like it. I missed it when it came out, and I went back again because of somebody in this community. I can't remember who it was, but the fact that he was able to imagine this world before it got strip-malled and high-rised and all these things, and there were these distinct communities within areas of Los Angeles that just had their own world. I find it really fascinating, and it's incredible to me. I think it's just great.
I love this album, Chavez Ravine. There's a documentary on YouTube about the story of Chavez Ravine. It was basically at three neighborhoods with mostly Hispanic people that were leveled. They just kicked all these people out. They used eminent domain and kicked these people out, basically. There was a story that they were going to build community housing or low-income housing on this land, but that all fell through for really interesting stories. So if you go to YouTube, the documentary is only 23 minutes long. It's called Chavez Ravine, A Los Angeles Story. And Rye did the soundtrack for he contributed his talents for that. But it's only 23 minutes. It tells the story of Chavez Ravine. So they leveled these three neighborhoods, which were up on a hill. A photographer was there taking pictures for 3 years and made a really great book of the neighborhoods. But they were leveled, and that's where Dodger Stadium is now.
So yeah, that's right.
They leveled three neighborhoods and made Dodger Stadium. So you can watch this documentary, which is really good. And Rye made an album about it, and it's mostly in Spanish. It's about half and half Spanish and English. It sort of reminds me of, remember that album Rosalía Lux that came out last year that everybody was talking about?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that record, because you have to, it's better if you listen to the whole thing in once, and you don't really understand all the languages that are happening, but you feel it. You get the feeling of that it's something important and very emotional. But that was a great comeback. It's such a great album. And there's a song.
It really was.
The central piece on that album is Moi Fifi, which is sung by Ursi Arvuzo, who was in a teen group. I guess, I don't know if this is the right term anymore, but in the 60s, it was a Chicano girl group. Uh-huh. She was then called the Sisters. You have to look them up on YouTube because they're not on the streamers. But she was a singer in the Sisters, and her dad was a boxing coach, and she became a professional boxer at one point in her life.
Is that right? Wow.
She always sang. She was a singing teenager, and then she boxed for a while, and then she came back to singing. And there's some really good stuff out there from her. Rye produced an album for her, and I found a really nice cover on YouTube of Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics that she did. With a Mexican feel. But yeah, she sings Moi Fifi, and it's just so great.
Don't blast the horn, man. Just wrap them pipes. She'll know it's you.
Mama boom! No salgas con ese tipo. Traje guango, se le ve el filero. Le gusta el peito y es callejero. Te trae de la oreja, lavándote la mente. ¿Cómo te vistes, hija? No es decente. Tu falda apretada, la traes hasta aquí. Tu greña toca el techo.
Three California, okay. The California trilogy.
The California trilogy. Okay, that's what I was trying to think of. What are the other two records?
It's Chavez Ravine and My Name is Buddy, which is about a cat and a dog. He wrote characters based on a cat and a dog that moved to California and tried to set up homes in California.
Oh, beautiful.
And then I, Flathead, is a lot about the culture of hot rods and
okay,
and you know, making custom cars and so just all like, I think that's big in California. It's probably big everywhere, but that was his angle. But those are all, those three albums, they're all about life in California. And that was his California trilogy. And he had money to do whatever he wants. So he was just writing about what he wants. And he's really good at short stories. He actually published a book of short stories, which was really, it was reviewed really well. It's supposed to be really good. I have to, when I'm done reading the book that I'm reading right now about the cars, I'll try to pick up his book of short stories. But he's a good storyteller. So he wasn't writing a lot on those 70s albums. He didn't write many songs, but he's writing all the songs on these albums.
That's a very interesting distinction. Yeah, exactly. His unearthing had kind of been semi-complete at this point, and you know, he moved on to collaborations, and others are unearthing now, and he's going back to these memories and writing these songs.
I should put some dates on these. Chavez Ravine was 2005. My Name Is Buddy is 2007, and I Flathead was 2008. And then he made two political albums.
He did.
Yeah, he wanted to get back to his Woody Guthrie roots, so he made an album called Pull Up Some Dust and Sit Down. So he's writing like Guthrie-like political songs. There's a song on there called Quicksand, which is about immigration, that I think is the best song on Pull Up Some Dust and Sit Down, but they're all great.
Well, I left my home in Tamaulipas, in Sonoyta, I came across the six of us when we started walking behind the coyote balls. The old man said, let me go there with you. Yes, I'm old, but I'm mighty tough. I know the road, maybe I can help you. I got good shoes, I won't hold you up.
And then he made an album called Election Special in 2012.
Yeah.
He's got a song on there about the Koch brothers called Brother Is Gone. It's about the Koch brothers.
Yeah, he made some headlines with that one. Very, very cool. And, you know, it's kind of like we were saying when we were talking about how can a poor man stand such times and live. You know, Rye is making these kind of musical political statements early in his career by covering other artists who were making those kind of statements, you know, in the 40s during the Depression and things like that. And yet here it comes again. These issues still have to be dealt with. And it's still the same kind of thing. So it is, when I heard that he did that, I wasn't surprised. I thought that was very much in character for him, just that he's writing the songs now.
Yeah. Amazing.
Really amazing.
Then he did a gospel album called The Prodigal Son in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's his last solo studio album, 2018.
Yeah.
Prodigal Son. And he did a tour with Joaquin, which I saw at Town Hall in New York City on June 8th, 2018.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wonderful. I was there. It was great. Town Hall is a really nice venue in New York City. It's smaller than Radio City Music Hall. and it's older, but it's really nice. So yeah, I saw that tour with Joaquin. Joaquin opened up, and then he joined Rye for the. It was just Rye and Joaquin on stage for Rye's set.
Wow, so how cool! Good.
Yeah. So that was his last solo album, 2018, and then he did an album of duets with Taj Mahal, which was
cool.
It was a tribute to Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. They tried to recreate a Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee type album with his old buddy Taj Mahal. So there's a lot of full circle stuff in Rye's career.
Yeah.
Like the song you mentioned, How Can a Poor Man, he keeps coming back to that song.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we can play the version that Roseanne Lenley sings. But he keeps coming back to that song. And then he came back to work again with Taj Mahal right at the end of his career. And that's a fun album. I like it.
Yeah. I listened to a little bit of that, and that it's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Raw and rootsy.
It is very, very much so. And a wonderful full circle moment with Taj Mahal. Who would have thought that they both would travel these incredible paths and end up back together? It's pretty amazing. It really, really is. So you mentioned seeing Rye there. Were there other times that you saw him play?
I only saw him that one time, but I've read about the other tours. He did a tour with Little Village that didn't go very well, like I said, because they weren't traveling together. And I think Jim Keltner was getting a little too old for touring then, and Rye was feeling a little old then too. But then he bounced back. He did a duo tour with Nick Lowe.
Right. Yes.
Of Europe, Japan, and Australia, just those two in 2009. And I think he really enjoyed that. Could you imagine hanging out with Nick Lowe and just playing gigs and going to restaurants and stuff? So he really enjoyed that. I think he didn't like big tours. The Chicken Skin Review tour was a disaster because they had trouble with their bus and people had illnesses and just all kinds of logistical things. And the bands were so big and he wanted to pay everybody, but it wasn't really sustainable. So he really got sick of big tours, but he liked these little tours. He did a duo tour with David Lindley all over Australia and Japan and Europe that he really liked a lot. I don't have a date on that, but he did a couple duo tours with Lindley, one with Nick Lowe. I'm missing something here. Oh, the one I saw. Oh, and then all of a sudden, he decides he wants to play at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco in 2013. He's like, hey, you know what? Let's get the guys back together again. So he gets the backup singers. He gets Flaco. He gets this Mexican brass band that he found in East L.A. And they're sitting up in the balcony. The audience didn't even know they were there. They come out of the balcony and they start blowing on these trumpets and trombones and stuff. So there's a live album. It's called Live in San Francisco 2013, and it's on the streamers. You can listen to it.
If your man got you on the run, why don't you try me? If you want to have a little fun, oh baby, why don't you try me? If you're troubled more than you can bear, if your trouble's been more than your share, and if things are not going just right, why don't you tell a man like me tonight, baby? Why don't you tell me tonight? Why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell me tonight? Why don't you tell me? Last night, when I was trying to sleep, heard a racket from the parking lot next door. That was all bound up friends out there having a fight, like you done so many nights before. Time when I turned you every which way but loose was what I heard him shout. I jumped out of bed and I opened the door just as you came around. Try me tonight. Why don't you try me? Why don't
telling you, honey, you will be free. No, I don't.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that was out there. That is really cool.
He wasn't planning to record it. He just felt like getting the band together and doing two more shows. So he booked two nights in San Francisco, did the shows. They sold out immediately. The place only holds 600 people. It's a small music hall. And the sound man recorded it, and Rye heard the recordings, and he said, you know what? We should put this out. It's really good. And he's right. It is really good.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Well, we've come to the end here, Kurt. I think it's been amazing. I had 15 hours of tape queued up, and we haven't used it all, but we have used a good amount of it.
Well, I hope we didn't ramble too much and turn anybody off with that. I hope people, you know, dig into some of this stuff, the movie music, those 70s, that run of albums in the 70s. And just, I hope people dig into some of those nuggets and enjoy them as much as we do. But he's a genius. He hung out with other geniuses. They made music together. They left their mark. I think he's definitely an American treasure.
I completely agree. I think that's really the way to put it. He is a force, yet he operated in and out of the radar, below, above, around, yet he operated consistently on this path that, you know, I keep going back to that moment. I had never heard that story before of a next door neighbor placing a guitar on this child's chest and strumming a note and like sending this energy all the way through him, the vibrations, like it just blows my mind. I'm going to be thinking about that for a long time. It's so great.
He kept playing it too, and he learned from the records. He was just like, how he was figuring out from the records his parents had, and from the records he got from his mailman in the neighborhood. And what he couldn't figure out with his ear, he went down to the Ash Grove and he watched those actual people play the songs. And at 15, amazing. Another guitar player in LA said that he was the best acoustic guitar player in the town of Los Angeles at the age of 15.
That's incredible. Wow. That is amazing. Amazing.
And he's famous for his slide playing too. And like, there's not that many great ones. There's Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Son House, Elmore James, Dwayne Allman, Bonnie Raitt, Johnny Winter, Lowell George, and Rye, and he's up near the top, I think. He's up at the top of that list. But he doesn't only play slide. He plays everything else, too.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a hell of a mandolin player.
He
can play the hell out of that. He really can. And, you know, like we were talking about, he played banjo with Bill Monroe. Didn't get kicked off the stage. That's pretty incredible. Well, you know, I think what I'll say by way of a closing comment is, for listeners, if you know just Buena Vista, or if you maybe just know Rye's soundtrack work, or, you know, you maybe know Bop Till You Drop or something like that, or you maybe know him from Captain Beefheart and you're on that part of the thing. This is, like Rye said, with a collaboration, this is an opportunity. The window of Rye Cooter is open for you, listener. Now you can go in it and make of it the best you possibly can. And I know I've mentioned several times, Kurt and I, that you can find Rye CDs because there are a lot of them. I mean, when you take all those, I mean, how many albums, you know, did we talk about during this week? All the albums that he made solo, all the collaborations, all the movie soundtracks, all the other things, you can find his stuff out there. And it's a happy accident when you come across it. So keep your eyes peeled for Rye Cooter. You know, as Kurt said, he is an American treasure. It's really the best way to put it. Kind of a walking Smithsonian, a musical Smithsonian.
That's a great way of putting it. It's like, he's taking you to a museum of history, economics, and the Dust Bowl and the history of our country. I have it here, 16 solo albums and 18 soundtracks.
There you go. So there's plenty to look out for. And none of those, we believe, are contractual obligation fulfilling albums. He didn't make a live album to get out of his contract with anybody, that's for sure. Well, yeah. This has been a wonderful talk, Kurt. Thank you so much for this, for sharing your knowledge. And we know that these are going to be a little longer than your normal Rockin' the Suburbs episodes, but we hope you enjoy it for that, what it is, and everybody enjoys it. I think with Rye, there's so much that happened in his life. There's so much music he made and so many people he touched. If anybody out there also has a story they would like to share, we'd be happy to do a follow-up on these episodes with anything else people would like to incorporate. Of course, you can email us at rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on the socials at suburbspod on all the places you can contact us. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, Kurt, what's the best way to do that?
Mr. Kurt Music is my tag on most social media, but okay. KurtGallagher.com, just my name.com is my website.
Yeah, great way.
Reach out to me there.
Yeah, reach out.
This was so much fun, Patrick. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this dive into Rye's career. And I'm going to be playing How Can a Poor Man Stand Sometimes and Live for the rest of my life. It's such a great song.
It is a great song. Yeah.
If that was the only takeaway for me, it was totally worth it. But hey, thanks for the invitation. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much for the idea germination, and we both got pretty excited when we brought it up, and it's really reinvigorated my passion for Rye's music. So I want to thank you for that too. It's really a treasure, and you don't have to be super weird to appreciate it, folks. It's out there for everybody. It is. All right. With that, we will say good night to everybody, and would not miss an opportunity for us to plug our series on Reverend Gary Davis too. So go back in the Rock in the Suburbs archives and look for that. That was really a lot of fun, and really appreciate all the positive feedback we got on that. I am Patrick Foster. On behalf of Kurt Gallagher and Jim Linehan, I will say we will talk to you guys later.
Went all over town, and everywhere they went, the people turned us down. Lord, in a bourgeois town, it's a bourgeois town. I got the bourgeois blues, gonna spread the news all around. Home of the brave, land of the free, I don't wanna be mistreated by no bourgeoisie. Lord, in a bourgeois town, it's a bourgeois town. I got the bourgeois blues, gonna spread the news all around. Well, me and my wife, we were standing upstairs. I heard a white man say, I don't want no niggas up there. Lord, in a bourgeois town, it's a bourgeois town. Spread the news all around.
Rye Cooter right there from Chicken Skin Music, 1976. I got the bourgeois blues. Thank you, Kurt Gallagher, very much. Deeply, deeply grateful to you for this great series. And I hope everyone has enjoyed it. And as we mentioned, if anybody has anything they'd like to share about Rye, anytime they saw him, any memories, any favorites, anything you want to talk about, please get in touch with us. You can send an email to rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can find us at Suburbs Pod on the socials. I'd like to close the whole thing out with a suggestion from Kurt. As he mentioned on this episode, Ry Cooter and his son Joaquin did a tour with David Lindley, the famous LA musician, and his daughter Roseanne Lindley. It was called the Cooter Lindley Family. And this recording comes from the Vienna Opera House in the year 1995, and it's kind of a song that ties it all together and a theme that's been running throughout this series, Rye's version of How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live. From all the way back then to all the way up here now, it's just as relevant as it ever was. I hope that we've turned some people onto Ry Cooter, and I hope everyone has enjoyed our look into his music. I think it's one of the most fun episodes I've done in quite a long time, and there has been quite a lot of them. It's it was really a lot of fun to put together. We have some other series coming up for you, too, in the future that I think you're going to enjoy. So stay tuned and listen to Rockin' the Suburbs every day. With that, here is the Cooter Lindley Family live at the Vienna Opera House in 1995. Doing How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live? And with that, we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
So they leveled these three neighborhoods, which were up on a hill. A photographer was there taking pictures for 3 years and made a really great book of the neighborhoods. They were leveled, and that's where Dodger Stadium is now.